Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, it's Lani Ka'a'a here in studio with Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Aloha and welcome to the Good Life Radio. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. President John F. Kennedy once quoted the Bible and said, "To whom much is given, much is required." Today we'll hear from Ran Wadamal, a man who has certainly lived out this scripture in his life. We take a minute to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. It is to lead you to the hope of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the hope of the world. No matter what you are going through, he died on the cross for your sins, and he died for mine and Rand's and Suzanne's. He shed his blood for all of us. He was buried, but he rose again, and he rose again to cleanse us of all sin. His mercies are new every day and available to every single one of us, no matter where you're at in life. And I pray that today Jesus is calling you. Ran Wadamal is the founder of Business Advisory Services, LLC, and the co-creator of Hawaii Film Partners. He serves in leadership positions on several nonprofits in Hawaii, including the River of Life Mission. He co-founded the Family Business Center of Hawaii. He's a graduate of Punahou School and Claremont McKenna College. Ran lives with his wife Gina and family in Honolulu. Ran, welcome to our show.
Thanks so much, Lani and Suzanne, for having me. It's just such an honor to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for being here. Ran, tell us a little bit of where you grew up.
I grew up in Honolulu, first in Aina Haina when we were really little, and then my family moved up to the back of Manoa Valley when I was in first grade, and that's where I grew up. I spent all my days there, Manoa, growing up there, in the back of Manoa Valley, running around the mountains, hills, and neighborhoods there. So grew up there, went to, you know, school locally, and then you said from Punahou, and then off to college at Claremont. The reason I went there was because of because my grades were so good, but it was because I played water polo and the coach wanted me, so I was able to get in.
Wow! Good for you. Good for that's a tough sport.
Great school. It's a great school and a great sport.
Yeah, I couldn't get into the school today, admittedly, but back then I could, and I played water polo, and that sort of led me on my journey. It was because of my sophomore year at Claremont. I was fortunate enough to start my freshman and sophomore years on the team, and we took the championship each year. And so water polo was kind of my life. But sophomore year, it was kind of the last game of the season, end of the season, and we were playing a pretty big team. And I was stuck behind somebody in front of the goal, and he took a shot. His arm came around. It hit me square in the eye.
Wow.
It turned out I ended up getting a concussion and my eye bled, and long story is I ended up getting a detached retina, and I started losing the sight in the eye, and I would ended up in the hospital, and I went to the doctor because my eyesight was getting so bad. Finally, it had been weeks, and I was in California. Friends picked me up, took me to the doctor, and he said, "You're going to the hospital today. Your retina is detached, and it's infected. We don't know if you're going to see again." So I got put into a hospital. In those days, this was in 1972, they covered you both eyes, and I was flat on my back, and I was blind for a month. So it was one of the best experiences of my life because I got to meet people and got to know people without ever seeing them. And that really helped change the way I look at people. So I said, "Lord," because it was interesting. I got, especially a lot of the orderlies and nurses would come in and talk with me, and they know I couldn't see them. So they're so friendly and open. And anyway, through this process, it was then that I sort of realized that even though I believed in Jesus my whole life, I never really surrendered my life to him. And so I don't know what time of day it was. I don't know what day it was, but it came to a point where I just really said, "Lord, no longer my way, but your way." And I just surrendered my life to the Lord. And I felt such a peace come over me. And I'd had two surgeries, and they were not successful. Fluid kept coming from the back of the brain and separating the retina. And so And funny, I because they're blind, I could tell who was coming down the hall into the room by the way they walked. And I always dreaded the anesthesiologist's footsteps. They knew the next morning I'd be having surgery.
Wow.
So shortly after I accepted the book,
I hear those steps coming down the hall as the anesthesiologist. Okay, we're going to do it again. This time, when I woke up from the surgery, after I really committed my life to the Lord, I felt at peace, and I got one eye back. And he said, well, once in a while, they put a complete silicone buckle around my eye to hold it. And it went so well that they gave me my left eye back. I could see. But from that point on, these people who would come and talk to me wouldn't come talk to me anymore. They kind of withdrew. And I see some of them had a deformity, some had this. But they knew I could see them, and they were never as open friendly with me ever again. And I thought, wow.
Wow.
Began my journey. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that began my journey with the Lord. Started when I was blind, literally, in a hospital bed. But God was good. God was faithful, and it was kind of like an amazing journey ever since then. And for those that have not accepted Jesus and have discovered what just amazing adventures he has for you, it's just like, why would you want to live anywhere else but with the Lord? You know, it's just amazing.
So good.
Rand, was your mom there with you, if I may ask?
She was. She flew up. She had not become a Christian yet. So she was sitting in the hospital. Everyone was afraid because there was a chance I wouldn't ever see again. But pulled through and accepted the Lord. And later on, you know, I think about a year later, she accepted the Lord. But she was there. She was very faithful, stuck there by my side, and was there in the hospital. So I was very grateful for her presence.
Mm. That's amazing.
Wow.
That's amazing. Wow. Would you say that your mom was a big influence in your life? Were there other people that really spoke and influenced you growing up?
Oh, both my parents. My parents were divorced when I was in the fifth grade, but my father, we were very close to. He was one of the most brilliant men I've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
Very humble, very kind. So they were both influential in my life. Of course, my grandparents were very influential. I always been blessed to have, you know, really wonderful people, and seeing my grandmother work every day till she was at least 75.
Wow.
Seeing my parents start at the Watermelon Foundation and their service to the community made a big impact in my life, and I became the first third generation member of the Watermelon Foundation my grandparents started, and that was wonderful. So, yeah, I've had many wonderful mentors and people in my life. I just feel so blessed, and that's why so I like to, you know, wherever possible to, you know, help others and reach out, because that's so important to be able to have people in your life that are, you know, care about you, connect with you, and can help mentor you.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you spent that time in the hospital, possibly going blind, but you finished your degree. Did you continue to play water polo? Did you go back to college?
Good question. Well, I was young and dumb, so yeah, I continued to play water polo.
You did?
Year.
Oh, wow.
I did, and actually, I was in the hospital, and it's a week out, but I didn't miss any school. The teachers all were very good to me, and I was able to finish up that school year. When I got back to school, I made up the work, and I finished my sophomore year, and played water polo the next year, which is my junior year, and made, you know, all conference again.
Wow.
But what happened was the doctors discovered a thinness of the retina in my good eye. See, what I didn't tell you was that when they corrected, when they had to cut some muscles, and so my eye, they couldn't correct it. So they had to leave it essentially legally blind. My right eye was legally blind, but in my left eye. So I had to make the adjustment to see him with one eye. And so I learned that. I made the adjustment, and then I played water polo next year. But when they discovered a thinness of the retina in my good eye, I said, I can't risk being blind. So my senior year, I did not play water polo, but I ended up coaching the junior. I created a junior varsity team at Claremont and ended up coaching. And then when I graduated from college and came back, a wonderful eye doctor, Malcolm Ng, saw me and examined me and said, you know, Rand, there's a slight chance that if we fit you with contacts, your eyes might be able to fuse back together. Because before that, I couldn't even wear glasses because they cut muscles. My eyes would see two images, so they had to leave my right eye uncorrected. So I said, we'll try with contacts. There's just a slight chance. And so he said, but first of all, your eyes are very sensitive. They don't stop tearing in 30 minutes. It won't work. So he fitted me with contacts. I'm sitting in the waiting room, 29 minutes later, 30 seconds, my eyes stopped tearing. So he said, okay, we'll give it a shot. And I was going to a wonderful kind of a fellowship at that time. And they all started praying for me. And in 2 days, my eyes fused back together.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing. So God restored my vision with contacts, and I could then see 20/20 again for the first time since, you know, for many years. So that was amazing.
Wow.
And then in 98 with LASIK, I was able to get LASIK done and corrected. So now without contacts, I have 20/20 vision.
Wow.
So God restored. He really restored.
So good. So good.
So graduated from Claremont. Yeah. On schedule, on time, came back to Hawaii, and ended up going to work for the Bank of Hawaii in their management training program, which I love. But then my father kept encouraging me that, you know, right after the oil embargo, we were kind of looking at it, and he was telling me that, you know, we had their box on this roof when he was growing up that he got all the hot water from.
Mm-hmm.
We said, that sounds like a good idea, because we figured the energy picture in the world is changing forever. After the oil embargo, there's no longer going to be $3 a barrel of oil. It's going to be, prices are going to go up dramatically. So we decided to start a solar water heating company.
Wow.
And I didn't know of any other solar water heating company in the world. I found one book in the library written in 1929 about solar water heaters, and I started a company. Still young and dumb, you know. So we launched out. Little did I know that the whole industry was kind of being birthed at the same time. So that led me on a journey where we created a solar water heating company from scratch, knowing nothing, to growing it up. We worked at that for many years, built it up, and over the years became an electrical contractor in addition to a solar contractor, which I helped write the first contracting license for solar.
Wow.
And then became an electrical contractor and a plumbing contracting company.
Wow.
And we did really well. Tax credits ended. Solar got into trouble. We struggled for many years. Then a miracle happened in our business. We were still struggling to stay afloat. We were really in severe trouble financially as a company. But then a good brother in our church, who's an attorney, I get a call one day and said, "Man, there's this company from Midwest that wants to bid on the airport, and they need a local licensed electrical contractor to bid his business for 5 years, which we have." And I said, "And they want to do a video monitoring and access control system. Can you do it?" And it's kind of like this. I said, "Well, hang on a second." So I put my hand over the phone and turn around. "Anybody know what a video monitoring access control system is?" "No? Okay." I was going, "Yeah, we can do it."
Ran, I'm going to quickly, I love the story you're in the middle of. I need to take a break real quick, but we don't want to lose the momentum of your story, because we're dying to understand the next step. So hold on real quick. We're here with Ran Wadamol. It's a great day. We're at the Good Life Radio Show. Oh, what an amazing story so far it's been, God saving him from blindness, true blindness, and returning to the sport of water polo. Being awarded the year after with accolades, even with slight blindness. An amazing story that God has brought Ran Wadamol through, and then returning to Hawaii and truly being blessed by more and more vision, if you will, 2020 vision, in fact. Stay with us. We're at the Good Life Radio Show. If you'd like to hear this from top to bottom, you can go to our website, goodlifehawaii.com, and download. Send it to a friend. It'll inspire you. Again, we're here with Ran Wadamol. We'll be right back to hear more of his story at the Good Life Radio.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliwomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Ran Watamal. He grew up in Hawaii, attended Punahou School, received dual degrees in economics and film from Claremont McKenna College. What a great story that was of becoming blind in the middle of a water polo season, but meeting the Lord in the midst of blindness. I don't know, that kind of sounds familiar, Suzanne. I think I've read somebody else who did that in the Bible. I'm not sure. Maybe his name was Paul. Anyway, it's such a vision.
Only 3 days, Lonnie.
Yeah,
much longer.
Ran was an entire month, but Ran, you returned to your 2020 vision, and you know, as I'm listening to you in the first segment, I'm thinking, you know, opportunity knocks because God goes after those who will carry out His purposes, and I'm mm-hmm. listening to you, and I'm just hearing God knocking on your door, and you saying yes, Lord. So I want to continue with that great story about getting that phone call, and saying yes, not even knowing what you were saying yes to.
That was really exciting, and again, still young and dumb, but believing God, right? Just believe God that all things are possible. And when I came to the Lord, I was like, I wanted God to be everything who He said He was, or why? You know, if I do it, you know, no limitations, right? Mm-hmm. God can do anything. And so that's kind of, I still believe that, you know, God is a wonderful miracle working God. So we said yes to that. And so we ended up joint venturing with a company called Midwest Communications. We put together a bid to do the first called the security system at Honolulu International Airport.
Oh.
And it combined the cameras, the card readers, and throughout the entire airport, and a custom-designed software system that they had kind of developed. And so it was a pretty complex project, but we put together the project, and it was really tough. And again, as I mentioned before, that you know, at times in our solar business, we did well. At times, we struggled.
Mm-hmm.
In the early days of our business, and I had gotten married to Gina in 1978, and we always put our, you know, kind of employees ahead of us and paid them. And there were weeks that we were living many weeks and, you know, at $30 a week for food, you know, so we knew what it was like to really struggle and be really frugal. And we had very many lean years. And anyway, so we were facing some difficulties after the tax credits were gone. And so when this came on, it was just a blessing. We felt like it was God and gave me a scripture from Isaiah about He's going to provide. And you know, there's going to be shouts of joy and all this. So we were holding on to those scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And then the day of the bid opening came, and the day before, the company that put up our bond for our bid pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so the day of the bid, I was in the office. I got in at 3 in the morning to try and put the thing in straight. There's no bid bond. What are we going to do? And so the people back in Midwest and Kentucky said, hold on. We're going out to lunch. We'll decide what to do.
Mm.
And so we waited. I'm reading the scripture, just trusting God. And he comes back, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a cash bid bond. Everybody go to the bank, pull out with savings. We're going to come how many thousands of dollars bid bond? We're going to do that. I said, okay. So everybody went to the bank, got the money out. We got the bid together. The bid is due at 2 o'clock at the Department of Transportation. And so we finally got it together. And so the head of Midwest here and I jump in the car. Said, he's going to drive me down from Hawaii Street down to Punch Bowl Street. So let's hop in the car. We go there, drive down, turn right on Ala Moana. Traffic stop. There's a water main break.
Oh, no.
We're not going to make it. I said, let me out. So I jump out of the car, and I'm running down Ala Moana Boulevard with a bid under my arm. And then I come down to Punch Bowl Street, run up Punch Bowl Street, and I get there. And I'm just like, how about this work too? And I hand her the bid, and she goes, oh, I can't accept this. I go, why? It's not in an envelope. I go, I don't have an envelope. But there, how about in the trash over there? So she looks, oh, here's one. She goes in the trash and pulls out an envelope. I put in, write our name on it, stamps it, 2 o'clock. And we ended up winning the bid.
Wow.
We ended up winning the bid.
Wow.
As a result of that, Midwest Communications bought my electrical division. I sold off our solar division and the plumbing division, and we started another adventure. After being in the solar business for 18 years,
yeah,
we started, you know, another adventure with doing this project at the airport. And it was kind of amazing being able to do that work. And during the midst of this, the plane was hijacked, and now the FAA came out and required all airports to have all of their personnel with an ID badge, or they're going to shut them down.
Wow.
So Honolulu International Airport was going to be shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So we started making badges for everybody and working around the clock. We had 18,000 people to get badged in 30 days.
Wow.
So we did that. As we worked literally around the clock, taking pictures of people, getting the badge set up. So that was just so much fun doing that. So
mm-hmm.
we did that for 5 years. And then kind of the project we finished, the add-on, you know, change orders, project grew, but then it was over. The company was sold to another huge company out of San Diego called Science International Application Corporation. And they bought us. And when they decided to try and bid more work, they were just too top-heavy and didn't win any. So I ended up kind of leaving
mm-hmm.
And figuring what to do when I ran into an old friend at the bank. I said, come back at the Bank of Hawaii. Maybe there's something you'd like to do. So he set up an interview. I went back there, spoke with the interviewer, and they said, well, you got these tracks. You could do this, this, and then there's the trust track.
Mm-hmm.
And when she said that, just like this warm feeling came over me and Bell, and I said, like, that's what I want to do. And I had no idea what it was.
Mm.
but
seems
know,
to be kind of a theme going on here, Rand.
So I interviewed with a Hawaiian Trust Company, and they realized my background. And about a year before, my grandmother had passed away and had a terrible estate problem with the IRS. Ann said, asked me to come in, so I was helped. I kind of took over the negotiations with IRS and negotiating a settlement on her estate. And it was just an awful thing. She had lost virtually most of the estate to the IRS due to a lack of proper planning. And I was determined no family should have to go through this again.
Right.
This is just not right.
Mm-hmm.
And I come to learn out it was 100% avoidable had you done the proper planning.
Mm-hmm.
So I started researching. I want to help families with this. So when Hawaiian Trust president, vice president talked to me, they saw my kind of entrepreneurial background, which they wanted. And if I could learn anything you need to know about a trust, because back then I didn't know what the difference was between a RLT, which is a revocable living trust, and a BLT, which is a sandwich. I learned later.
So
I got hired. I said, yes, I got hired, but I did not know that the department had been approved. So I write the business plan, get approved by the board of directors, and I started with me and Zero in the bank. So we started doing it, and we were able to grow it with God's grace again. We grew it to like a staff of 14 and a billion under management for the bank.
Good for you.
And we did it by providing really high-end, high-touch services to high-net worth families. And that's where I really got to meet a lot of families, began serving on more boards, and just began to help people meet needs in a variety of areas.
Wow.
And then in 2007, I ended up, well, and then in the midst of this, in 2002, with a new kind of tax law that came in, God opened the door for another channel for us. That was this crazy film business where...
Hey, Rand, before you go there, I want to pause. I want to talk about your wife. Now, she was with you through this whole adventure and your partnership?
She was. We got married in 1978. And she was, you know, almost 7 years younger than I am, so... Believe it or not, she was still in college and married me, and she went to college and then helped me win the business. And then we had our son in 1980. She stayed kind of home with him and helped raise him and went through all this, helped with the business and went through all these kind of tough times.
Mm-hmm.
Then she went back to school in the mid-80s and got her degree and finished up and then even went to law school.
Wow.
And she and her son used to take the bus together to school every day. She'd get on, go to E-Way, she'd go through, you know, at time, he was an R-Redeemer, he later went into Punahou, but they would take the bus together. So she was with, you know, kind of an essential part of that. And then she did her thing, you know, working when she got her business degree. She did a double major in international business and marketing at University of Hawaii.
Wow.
She did fabulous. And then worked for Retail Merchants Hawaii, help you know, do that for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And then went back to law school, got accepted to law school, and went to law school at Richardson, and did absolutely wonderful there. Made law review,
mm-hmm.
and did just fabulous. And then went to work in various areas in law afterward.
Wow.
But in 2002, there was a new law passed that allowed kind of tax credits for kind of high technology businesses and film. And because I was at the bank and I found out about this law for that first year, we put our clients into it, in these investments into companies, because it allowed them to get really advantageous tax credits. And
mm-hmm.
it helped to create new businesses, grow new businesses, mm-hmm. startup companies. It was wonderful. Then an old friend of mine, Donnie Dawson, we met at a wedding, and, mm-hmm. and she found out what we were doing, found out we had experience with this, asked if I would speak at a dinner that the Hawaii Film Commission was putting on in Hollywood to encourage people to do business in Hawaii. And our son, who was born in 1980, at this time now, was a senior at University of California, Irvine. He was a volleyball player, a star mm-hmm. starter on the University of California, Irvine volleyball team. And we were there for senior week. And so I agreed to speak at this meeting. And so it was kind of fun. And the two other people before me spoke about the law and all this kind of stuff. And it was people's eyes rolled behind their heads. And, and I talked about, I represent investors. And you know what? If we're not interested in your stars, we're not starstruck in all this Hollywood, but if you want to come to Hawaii and help us create businesses, we're interested.
Yeah.
Well, we got flooded with calls. This studio and that studio wanted us to talk to them, so we did, all just to promote Hawaii as a place to do business.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the end of the week, we got a call from the Hollywood Reporter, who was co-sponsored the event with the Hawaii Film Commission, and said, we've got this couple, they would really like to meet you. And we said, no, we're tired. They said, okay, well, we'll drive down wherever you are. We'll meet you. And so they came down and met us, and they said, we'd like to create a new business in Hawaii, and we'd like you to go into business with us. We started talking, and after all, we said, wait a minute, what did you say? They said, we'd like you to go into business. Said, but we're not crazy film people, you know? And so we'll just think about it. So we kind of prayed about it, and they said, well, we're international film distributors, and whatever we make, we can get distributed. So we prayed about it, and Gina was actually between jobs, and God just said, do it. And so we did. And so now, Gina, we started Hawaii Film Partners in 2002 because of that. And I was still at the bank, so Gina could be the head on that, and I was still working at the bank, and the bank was good enough to let me kind of have a hand in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took several years to get our first project, because we set out, we wanted to do a criteria that we would only do films we could be proud of,
mm-hmm.
films that our investors could get paid back in the first position, and films where people work with us collaboratively. One that no one would be embarrassed to see, you know.
Amen. Ran, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm so excited to talk more about a film, because we have a special announcement about something that you're doing in the community real soon. So when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about some of the films. I know you have award-winning films that Hawaii Film Partners has been a part of. And then one that's coming up that we really want to talk a lot more about, why you're doing it, what God placed on your heart about this film. So stay with us. We're here with Ran Wadamal. What a great story of God just opening doors of opportunity, and a man that says yes without knowing why or how. But God gets him through every time. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships,
depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a here in studio for Danny Yamashiro with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host. Today we have Ran Wadamol, a successful businessman here in the state and really an entrepreneur that God has really given opportunity to. And the theme that I've been hearing from you, Ran, is just this open willingness to follow God wherever He opens the door. No answers, no expertise, but just jump and God will provide. Besides Ran's financial planning service business, Ran and his wife Gina also started Hawaii Film Partners. We were just talking about that in the last segment. They've produced award-winning shows like Flight 29 Down and several others. You were talking a little bit about what motivated you to start the film company or partner in it, a little bit about making Hawaii a place of business. Tell us more about that.
Well, we really wanted to do these films. We wanted to do them in Hawaii, but not necessarily about Hawaii, because we knew Hawaii has great talent and great resources, and what has held Hawaii back is trying to, try to be everything to everybody. So we wanted to, a lot of times, shows come here, they film here, and then they leave. And we know Hawaii can be almost any setting in the world. Of the 13 climatic zones in the world, Hawaii has 11. So we know we could do a lot here. So in order to build a truly successful film business, Hawaii needs to be a place where you can film here and really be anywhere, because we can film year-round. We got great crews. We got great sceneries. We've got a lot of resources here. So that's what we wanted to do with Hawaii Film Partners, was to really try to build businesses in Hawaii and support local people. That's why in all of our film projects, we really pushed and promoted a lot of local talent along with internationally known talent. So it was a combination of the two.
Wow. And your wife is involved, you're partnered in this. And how has the Lord helped you through some of the challenges of launching this business?
It's really praying, praying and trusting Him and trying to navigate film business, which is fraught with a lot of peril because of the people that are attracted to this business for some reason, and a lot of awful people. that just, you need discernment and wisdom, and just trying to be listening to God, stay true to yourself and true to your values, and have discernment and pray about everything and try to be obedient to what He says. And that's what we tried to do. Not always successfully, but certainly that's been kind of what has led us and motivated us along. So one of our first projects was, definitely our very first project was, it took several years to find the right one, but it was what you mentioned, a television series called Flight 29 Down. They aired on NBC and then Discovery Kids. We did a co-production with Discovery Kids. Mm-hmm. And it was a fun show about teenagers who are on a journey on a flight for a school project, and they crash on a deserted island. They have to survive. and it was written with great values and never became Lord of the Flies. It was always just like kids got to learn lessons for themselves. And so it was really wonderful to do. And so we did three seasons of that, and it became the number one show on Discovery Channel's history. And it got several awards. It was just fun doing it. It was filmed on the beach, all outside, and we have wonderful stories of how we survived, really, you know, winds blowing and the trees ripping up on the set while we're in the middle of the set, and we're, you know, trying to hold things together. It was just fun being outdoors and working with everything from the crew to our Teamsters, became best friends, and it was just, and something I would do on all of our sets is the beginning of the set. You know, oftentimes, in, especially in films, there's this, because we're the producers, right? And there's a differentiation between producers, actors, and, you know, people who are, you know, do the regular jobs. Mm-hmm. But I wanted none of that. I realized we're all a team, and we're all equal on a team. So I would go around the set and pick up trash. And people would say, "What are you doing?" I said, "Look, if I can do this job, that means every one of you can do that."
Yeah.
And so that's kind of set an example that, you know, we're all, you know, in fact, when we did our movie, I had one actor's agent tell me, "Well, my actor won't drive in a bus with any below-the-line people." I said, "Look, I'm the producer, and I consider myself below the line, so he doesn't have a job."
Mm.
The actor called me back and apologized. "No, I fired my person. No, I'll ride below the bus, below the line, even the bus with people, so don't worry about that."
Isn't that amazing?
Anyway, so that was kind of helped us in the film, because it's a really kind of a industry laden with a lot of sharks, and so you've got to really be wary and open. So we were fortunate to do that Flight 29 Down, and then we did an animated series with China and Korea called Guardians of the Power Mask that's airing around the world. Mm-hmm. We also did an animated series called Ape Escape, and we did do a feature film called You May Not Kiss the Bride.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of fun to make. We had great stars in it, from Rob Schneider, Kathy Bates, Catherine McPhee, and it was just a lot of fun to make. But we also had a lot of local actors, including we had Willie Kay, Tia Carrera, Howard Bishop, a lot of local people that we insisted we would get people in there, including we've had Jordan Segundo come on, we've had Keola Richards, we've had so many local people that we were able to get exposure to. And the soundtrack was done mostly by local talent, including Emua Garza did our opening song. We had Tiffany Thurston do a song for us. We had Apatia Thompson do a song for us. And we also had Ben and Myla do a wonderful couple songs for us. And Myla did a great closing song, Beautiful Stranger. And the soundtrack is available. And so we really wanted to help promote and push our local island artists and artisans.
Mm-hmm. I know you were you wanted to share something very special about that show, You May Not Kiss the Bride. And I think it's just so wonderful what you're planning. So tell our audience a little bit.
We all know that a week ago, our beloved Willie Kay passed away after battling, you know, lung cancer for 2 years. And we just were feeling so bad and felt bad for the family. I mean, it was an extreme financial hardship on them. And, you know, I was just like, you know, I just feel like God wants to do something. So I heard Michael W. Perry talking about it on KSSK, so I called him and said, you know, we'd like to do something. And he said, "Oh, that's a great idea, man. Let me have somebody call you." So Katy Perry of Hawaii, Pickman of Hawaii News Now called me and said, "Yes, we'd like to do something." I said, "Well, I'm going to donate the movie to the station so that we can do kind of a promo to help support the family." So we're excited that You May Not Kiss the Bride is going to be shown on KGMB Channel 7 on this coming Sunday at 12 noon on KGMB, then the following Thursday at 7 p.m. on KHNL. And we're going to tell a few funny Willie stories on there, and it's going to be kind of a promo to help Willie, and it's to honor Willie, because he plays the Tahitian chief in our movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was just so wonderful in that. Who knew?
Right.
In fact, the reason we thought we were invited by his, we share a common intellectual property attorney, and we got to see Willie's launch of one of his CDs. And we were sitting there saying, he's got to be our Tahitian chief. I don't know if he can act or not, but we want him on. So he called and said, we want him to come down. So come down now. So Willie came to our office. He said, "Okay, man, I'm here ready to try out for the part." I said, no, Willie, you got it. No, really, I'll read. Where's the script? I'll read it. I said, "No, Willie, we want you to be." He goes, "Really? Wow. Because I just tried out for 3 or 4 parts. I didn't get any." No, just Willie, I want you to be the chief. And little did I know, he speaks fluent Tahitian. And in the movie, he comes up and he just bursts out in this hole. He speaks fluent Tahitian.
Wow.
To this day, I don't know what he said. But no one's complained, so I hope it's okay. You know. But he was marvelous in the movie. And wow. So I figured this is a wonderful way. And he sings a song in the movie that he's not recorded anyplace else.
Wow.
It's the Tahitian love song that just, we just loved. Fell in love with that song. And so I thought, what a great way to honor him and support his family.
Wow.
And White News Now got excited about that. So that's what we're doing. We're honoring him and supporting his family by showing them, airing the movie. And they're going to do it this Sunday and then the following Thursday at 7 p.m.
Great.
So we're just thrilled that their movie, that even though it came out in 2012, many years later, we're able to do something to help the family. Mm-hmm. And that just thrills us that we'll be able to use it to help.
Yeah. So, again, just for our audience so that you heard it right, the movie is called You May Not Kiss the Bride, and it's going to be playing on KGMB Channel 7, 12 noon on Sunday, and 7 p.m. again next Thursday on KHNL. Ran, that is an amazing thing that you're doing. I hope that really honors Willie and definitely that his family can get support, because he was such a great man and such as a giver, such a generous man in our community. Yeah. I hope that Hawaii will respond with the same generosity that he has always shown our island home. Ran, we're going to take a really quick break again, and we'll come back. And really, I just want to talk about some of the other things you're doing. Your film company is amazing, but you are very involved in the community. And River of Life Mission, I know it's close to my heart, close to your heart as well. I just want to talk a little bit about some of the community service and the work that you do in the community to help others. We'll be right back. We are here with Ran Modimal today. It's the Good Life Radio Show. If you'd like to get the entire podcast of today's show, you can go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Look up Ran Modimal and download the podcast or listen to it online. You can also share the link of the podcast with someone who God may put on your heart. This is an amazing story of a man who is given opportunity and just says yes. And then the resource follows, because that's the Lord. That's His way. We don't stride, we don't strive. The Lord provides as we say yes. Stick with us. We have one more segment with Ran Modimal.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Ran Wadamal, a successful business leader in Hawaii, owner of Business Advisory Services and Hawaii Film Partners, but he's also a tremendous servant in our community. He is the president of Wadamal Foundation, co-founder of Family Business Center of Hawaii, and the board president of both the River of Life Mission and Hawaii International Child. Ran, welcome back to our show. Where does your passion to serve our community come from?
You know, it's kind of inspired from my grandmother. She was an amazing person that created the Wadamal Foundation. Mm-hmm. Because they had a whole journey themselves. And so just seeing her cultivate that and seeing these, Wadamal Foundation used to give grants to Indian students to come here and study in the U.S. and go back, and just seeing there what good the Wadamal Foundation has done in India, mm-hmm. Was really an inspiration growing up. And just, it really is too, you know, what Jesus said when he talked about the parables at the end of the days when people are brought before the Lord, and he says, you know, I don't know you because you didn't help me when I was sick. Mm-hmm. I was in need. I was a prayer. You didn't come to me. He says, Lord, when did we see you? He says, I knew you didn't do the, you did not do it to these of these. You did not do it to me. So there's something about the way we treat others. Mm-hmm. God looks at it as the way we treat him. Yeah. And so in that, when you have a heart like that, it's kind of like, you know, God puts that in your heart that, you know, helping others. And I love being on the Hawaii International Child. It's a great organization that helps make forever families. And but let me just talk about the River of Life, because mm-hmm. when I had my contracting business back in the mid-80s, at our church, a young man asked if I could help with this couple that are feeding the homeless downtown. I said, okay. So it was our electrical and plumbing division, and we went down to this building down in Chinatown, and then he just got the keys to open the doors. It was dirty, dark, smelly, awful. But we put in the electrical and the plumbing, mm-hmm. and opened the doors, and it was called River of Life. And so that was my exposure to that. And over the next few years, I sort of was peripherally involved. And that same attorney who introduced us to the airport project was on the board. He invited me to be on the board. Mm-hmm. And I got, you know, onto the board and started serving there. And it just seemed mighty, just God do amazing stuff there. Mm-hmm. Bringing resources and people getting saved and healed and stuff. And then in 1998, I was elected to a one-year term as president of the board, and I've been trying to get off ever since. So, well, I worked myself out of a job. But, you know, Jesus said, you know, the poor we're going to have with us always, so I've not been able to work myself out of it.
Yeah. You know, I really have a passion for River of Life Mission and all that they're doing. And I know that you are looking at expanding your services because there is such a need. What is the need of River of Life? I want to do a shameless promotion of whatever they need.
I'm glad you asked it, because the River of Life is in a really amazing place, a mm-hmm. wonderful place. We've grown to be, well, from that one little room in that building, which is the building we have now, around 1998-1999, the owner of that building was put us on notice and said, you need to be out in 30 days, I'm selling the building. And so, okay, we started looking around, we didn't know what to do, and God spoke to me and said, buy the building. And I said, but God, you don't understand, we don't have the money, you know. But God said, buy the building. And so I did. He gave me a plan. I approached the owner and said, here's what we're going to do. We'll buy the building from you. And he had just gotten a recent appraisal. I said, you know what? I'll give you the full appraise price, but here's what I want you to do. I'm going to do an agreement of sale. You know, we'll put a little bit down and give us 3 years, then we'll convert it to a mortgage and all that. And he agreed.
Wow.
So he agreed. And then when we closed it, he turned around and wrote us a check for $50,000.
Wow.
So so in 99, we actually bought that building, and we've been, you know, had it ever since. And then we slowly expanded and had the whole building. Mm-hmm. Now we're at a point where God wants to do something different with us. We explored possibly moving into the city's new city center down there, but just because of the separation of church and state mm-hmm. issues and the restrictions, we just feel God has something else for us. We would like to move out of Chinatown and find a better building. That mm-hmm. building has been wonderful. It's three stories, and it's been really great. We've been there, but we want to find a building where we could expand our services. Mm-hmm. We want to expand our feeding services. We're feeding 15,000 a month, and during this time of crisis, that has stepped up from 700 meals a day to 1,000 meals a day. Wow. We're takeout meals, so mm-hmm. we're feeding a lot. But we want to do more ministry, and in a minute, I want to really encourage the listeners to consider areas like the River of Life as the new mission field, the new unreached people mm-hmm. groups, and that's the growing homeless across the country. Mm-hmm. It's a tremendous mission field that people who go in there need, as mission workers, need to have a compassionate heart, but also knowledge about social services, mm-hmm. about what needs to be people strengthened, healed, and put on the road, because we got a real need there. But the River of Life is looking for a wonderful building mm-hmm. that we could expand our services, even maybe have some housing components to it, mm-hmm. because we have had housing programs and residential programs where people get dramatically changed, and that's what we see, because we're not about feeding. Feeding is the first step where we get to meet people, build relationships, and see people get transformed by the power of God to become who God has created them to be, and then to move on. We have story after story of God doing just that, but we feel like we're in a place where we need to find, ask your people to pray for us, that we would find just the right building where we could do that, either a piece of land where we could build, or a building that has the facilities, the parking, where we could expand. It does not have to be in Chinatown. It could be elsewhere. And so mm-hmm. I know the Chinatown merchants and a lot of city and state are really trying to pressure us to get us out of there. Well, we understand that. We understand that. But see, I knew it was like before we went there, we did not bring the homeless into Chinatown. Mm-hmm. They were there before yeah. us. And they're going to be there after us. Mm-hmm. So it's not that. But we do understand we're sensitive to the needs. We're sensible that people that come stand in line, it can be disturbing to the businesses. And we understand that. So mm-hmm. we're looking for a place to move that would be just wonderful. Mm-hmm. So that's our biggest need now, is to find that. And our second biggest need is to, I want people to pray about making this a calling. If not a full-time life commitment, is maybe part-time. Because mm-hmm. the key to what makes the River Life successful is a lot of people doing a little. Mm-hmm. Our annual budget is about $1.5 million a year, mm-hmm. and 80% of it comes from donations. And the average donation is less than $100. Mm. So it's a lot of people doing a little bit that makes the River Life work. And so, you know, we also need people that consider ministry, that would come and want to even to work with us and for us as people who like missionaries and outreach mm-hmm. people to the homeless, and mm-hmm. and see them get, you know, a lot of people get saved, get the help they need, and get restored and reintegrated back into society. And so we have a need for that. People to come and work with us, and people to get a vision for let's end the homeless situation. You know, just feeding's the start. We're not a soup kitchen, never have been. It's just the door that we can build relationships so we can get to know people, who they are, what their needs are, get them the help they need, and then get them, you know, and introduce them to the Lord and get them the help they need so they can be radically changed and then reintegrated back in with their families and into society.
Yeah, you know what, I love what you said, and that, yes, I know the River of Life mission is just, it's just so touching the lives, and not just feeding, because that's just the first need that's met, that physical need. But right. your programs and your plan is to reach them all the way into their spiritual self, and yes. really introduce them to Jesus, that they might become disciples, right? And through that, find hope and purpose. And, you know, it's such a wonderful organization. And, you know, when you said just now that, hey church family, hey people out there, the mission field is right in front of us. I loved when yeah. you kind of highlighted that. It's not, don't go overseas. Don't go somewhere else. We have a growing population of a mission field.
yeah. and no passport.
Right. And such a need. And you know, it's heartbreaking, yeah. isn't it, that there are so many, and more now than ever, becoming homeless.
More than ever.
More than ever.
I mean, you know what is really heartbreaking is when you see the kids.
Yeah.
It's no fault of their own. There's a lot of, you know, the drug addiction is there's mental illness, there's mm-hmm. drug problems, and a lot of kids get dragged along in this. And so, yes, people can be reached, they can be helped, mm-hmm. and that's the exciting thing that I would encourage them to really pray about how maybe God would call them to come help. Come serve, come help, come volunteer, come make it a career, whatever God puts on your heart. There's a wide open field there for anything. Some people can help 1 hour a week. That's okay. Yeah. Some people can donate financially. That's wonderful. Some people can help by, you know, we've had many volunteers of all walks of life, from young to very old, and mm-hmm. some can only do a little bit. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And there you get such a feeling of just God's pleasure when you're out there mm-hmm. helping people, serving others, because there's something about that. I'm convinced that when God sees a heart that's willing to help somebody mm-hmm. else, getting nothing back for yourself, but just helping else, there's something about that that really touches God's heart.
Amen. Amen, Ran.
That's so good.
We're going to pray. We're going to pray for that. I'd like to pray for you before we close, if that's okay.
Thank you.
And River of Life. Lord God, I just thank you for Ran Wadamal, for his testimony, Lord, of a believer who trusts you with everything, who says yes and then figures out how. And trust you in the in-betweens and the transitions. I especially lift up River of Life Mission and all those that are serving and all those that are being called off the bench to serve, Lord God. I pray that many would come forward, especially during this time, and help Ran and all those that are at River of Life Mission to really serve our homeless population and help others. And Ran's so right in saying that service is really the joy that we get to be God's hands and feet. And so, Lord God, move people at this time. Move them to serve those who are in need, especially the ministries like Word of Life Mission. Thank you, Lord, for Ran and for all that he's doing. Bless his hands. Bless the time that he's going to spend with River of Life, but also the movie that's coming out, that it would raise much for Willie Kay and his family, Lord God. And just help the Wadamals, Lord God, to be just lights in this time, lights in this time. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ran.
So good to talk to you. So inspiring. I so appreciate
Thanks
your time. Mahalo.
I appreciate your program. Lives you're touching. Thank you.
Inspiring words from Ran Wadamal. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ. The love that Ran talked about with someone near you. And if you haven't done so yourself, accept Jesus Christ today into your heart. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Get to know Jesus. There's more information there. To help us with prayers, a donation, let us know. Thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click on the word partners. Let us know you're out there. Proverbs 19:17 says, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." It is always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to our guest, Ran Wadamal. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Lani Ka'a'a in studio for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.